gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Have we got a treat for you? There are two gentlemen that I have so much respect for, Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo. Now, Carl Gallops has been on our program before, and he's just a tremendous man of character and integrity, as is Mike Zullo. Now, if those names ring a bell, of course, Mike Zullo, just fresh off of a press conference, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the Cold Case Maricopa County Cold Case Posse press conference yesterday, giving a final investigative layout of the document that was placed on the White House website. That's whitehouse.gov. It was uploaded or available for view on April 27th, 2011. Now, you might ask why is this important, for example? A couple of things out of the gate. I am a fan of the work of M. Stanton Evans. And he's the author of a couple of books, including Blacklisted by History, which gets into the real story of McCarthy, his search for communist infiltration in the government. And also this book here, which I grabbed just as a refresher, which is Stalin's Secret Agents. And this is about the subversion of Roosevelt's government by communist agents in the federal government. Now, that's not what this segment is about. This segment is a very narrow segment about one thing, and that is the document that was uploaded to the White House, to the whitehouse.gov website on April 27th, 2011. That's what this section is about. That's why we've asked Mike Zullo, who was the lead investigator on this issue, spent 5 years of his life on this issue alone. 5 years. A 5-year investigation. Now, I think about that, because that's an amazing length of time. So he's on with Carl Gallops, and you know him, of course, Pastor Carl Gallops. He's been on our program before. Links to the original press conference and Carl Gallops' website within the article on HagmanReport.com. And I'll just say this. This is not about eligibility. This is not about where Obama was born. This is not about anything except that document. And you might ask why we're talking about it now. Obama's got 34 days left in office. Well, you talk about the integrity of our government. If that is of concern to you, the investigative findings of investigator Mike Zullo and Sheriff Joe Arpaio's Cold Case Posse have staggering, profound, disturbing implications. So I would like everyone listening and viewing this tonight to think bigger, to look at the bigger, broader picture, and consider the implications. I'm not going to keep our guests waiting. I'm going to bring them on right now. In fact, it's my understanding that Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo spent the day together, and I think both of them are still okay, right? I spoke with Mike Zullo earlier today, and I don't know. I heard some scratching and clawing. I'm kidding, of course. I want to bring on Carl Gallops first. Carl, welcome to the Hagman. Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Oh, thank you, man, so much for having me. I'm honored, and thank you for the kind things you said about me. Yeah, Mike and I are thrilled to be here with you. We're looking forward to telling this story tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing the story, and we understand the implications. And Investigator Mike Zullo, thank you so much for your service, your 5 years of sacrifice. I know you took a lot of hits in this. I know you have had your reputation attacked, besmirched, unfairly, as Sheriff Joe Arpaio did. I know that there's been a lot of misinformation, including misinformation from our own, from within the movement, those people seeking the truth, maybe well-intentioned, maybe not, but certainly some erroneous information. And thank you for clearing that up yesterday, and thank you for coming on and not just clearing that up today, but also getting into the meat and potatoes of this Well, this document that appeared on whitehouse.gov. So, Mike Zullo, welcome to the Hagmann Report.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I am really looking forward to spending the next 2 hours with you.
Oh, man. We are, too. I'll tell you, I've been looking forward to this for ever since John had told me that you were going to appear. I'm going to turn this over to Carl. Carl, you kind of, obviously, you've spent some time with Mike, and you kind of know pretty much, you've got a good feeling about where this goes. And you're the you're really a professional. You kind of know the lay of the land in this case. So can you give us an introduction here, what our listeners need to know about this issue?
Yeah, let me just give you the short version, and then if you have questions, of course, that's what Mike and I are here for, and we can go into as much detail as you want. But the short version is this. Anyone over the last 5 years, and really before then, but 5 years ago is when that document was put on the government website, anyone who has dared to question the government narrative, the White House narrative, the mainstream media, which I now call the real fake news narrative, anyone who has dared to just question it, I'm not saying that, you know, people just said it's out and out a fake document. I'm talking about people who just said, you know, this looks odd. What's wrong with this? Well, all of us have been lampooned and lambasted and marginalized and besmirched and maligned, lied about. Well, we are now vindicated. And that's important because the short version of this is that this investigative team led by Mike Zullo now has concluded with the verification of two national, international document expert entities on two different continents using two different methodologies, unaware that either one was working on it. They have arrived at the same conclusions based upon the forensic element evidence that you will hear about tonight, and most of your audience probably has already seen the video and perhaps saw the news conference last night. But the bottom line is we now know that the document on the White House website is a fabricated forgery. Not only do we know that, but what we know it with, the evidence, is courtroom-ready kind of evidence. This is the kind of evidence you take to court to convict somebody and put them in prison. I mean, this is, when I was a law enforcement officer, this is the kind of stuff you dreamed of having. This is the DNA, if you will, of this case. And what is it that we have? We now have the source document that was used to create the document that's on the White House website that's been passed off for 5 years as some kind of official identification of Barack Obama. It is not official identification. It's a fabricated forgery. Not only do we have the source document, but we know the name on the source document, one Johanna Ani. Yeah, Ani. Johanna Ani. And, as I said, two forensic experts, entities, one in Italy, the other one in Hawaii, and Mike will explain all about that. Given all of the information that we were collecting, or that Mike was, when I say we, I don't mean I collected it, but that Mike was collecting, they arrived at the same conclusion. In fact, Mike, I'll let you, I don't want to steal your thunder, you can give them the last paragraph of Reed Hayes' conclusion. It was just powerful. Now the lab out of Italy was just as powerful, but I loved Reed Hayes' colorful language. But it's just amazing. So the bottom line is, that's what the news conference was about last night. In fact, right. Mike has just called it up here on the computer, Doug, and he's asked me to read it. But well, here's what Reed Hayes says in his executive summary. This is what he concludes with. The executive summary is 4 or 5 pages long, and his report will be dozens of pages long. But and Mike will tell you more about Reed Hayes later, and his credentials are impeccable, and they're very, very impressive. But this is what he says after examining the evidence that we're going to talk about tonight and that they presented last night. Here's his paragraph. The evidence noted herein is clear and convincing proof that the Obama Certificate of Live Birth posted on the White House website on April 27, 2011 is a fraudulently manufactured document. Evidence indicates that the Certificate of Live Birth of Johanna Ani is one source utilized in the construction of the Certificate of Live Birth. Then he says the, quote, nail in the coffin, end quote, that proves the Certificate of Live Birth is inauthentic is the exact lineup of numerous entries on both the Certificate of Live Birth of Obama and the Ani Certificate. Respectfully submitted, Reed Hayes, document examiner, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's just profound. And the people in Italy arrived at the same kinds of conclusions, and we'll talk more about the details. But that's the short version of the story. We now know that it's a fake. We know the source document. We know who it belongs to. And we can clearly see, and we have the video evidence for anybody to look at, the elements as they were cut and pasted. We can see how that was done. And they were moved exactly in the same pattern right on over to the Obama, whatever that was, some pattern they were using, some template, we're not sure. But they manufactured that document. And that is that's astounding, because now, Doug and Joe, you have to ask why. Why would people commit crimes? Why would people produce a forgery, a fraud, for the president of the United States and defraud the American public for 8 years, two terms? Why would they do that? The answers to that are not good, Doug.
No, not at all. And numerous federal laws have been broken, I would suspect. I mean, just based on my research, and folks, the two investigative companies include ForLab and Reed Hayes, both very well respected. ForLab, the foremost in digital forensic digital technicians at ForLab, and also Reed Hayes. You can't get much better than that in terms of questioned document examiner. So, and also you mentioned since you started out with this, Mr. Gallus, Johanna Ani, I would probably, it'd probably be well to point out that she's not, this person is not a suspect, but in an investigative lead at this point, because some people who are following this investigation, might think right away, oh my goodness, you know, do we have a smoking gun with respect to Johanna Ani being a suspect? No, investigative lead, as Mike Zullo had stated yesterday. All right, there it is. I mean, there is the bottom line. But, okay. So, Mike, if you can explain, I mean, August 2011, you were tasked with this. Did you even think that this was going to take you down this path that you were that you found yourself going down? My goodness.
Doug, to tell you the truth, absolutely not. Neither Sheriff or Pyre nor I thought there was any validity to the claim. And we wanted to actually clear the document. My mandate from the sheriff was, Mike, take a look at this. There's nothing going to be here. Just clear the document and let's move the country forward. And that was the original mandate, and that's how I approached it. But in about 24 hours, there proved to be something seriously wrong with it, and I had to go back and report to him that I can't do that for you. There's something here.
Yeah, and you had been forthright yesterday in your in the press conference. You said, "Look, I'm a Republican. You're a conservative. You're and I'm paraphrasing here. You're everything that most people, you know, that who are against this topic don't like." So you're forthcoming, but the fact of the matter is, you allowed, like any good investigator, you allowed the evidence, you let the evidence determine the course and the direction of the investigation. You did not let any bias. If anything, you were probably too hard on yourself with respect to wanting to clear this as opposed to wanting to prove this a forgery. So, all right, yeah, so, okay, what did you first find? I mean, what was the first anomaly that you found with respect to the document?
Well, back in 2011, you know, I had interviewed Jerry Corsi for about 16 hours. And, you know, Jerry will tell you the first 14 hours, I'm surprised he stayed, because I wasn't buying anything. I didn't believe this. You know, there were things that he was showing me, and I was like, yeah, this is all nice, but a computer can do that, a computer can do this. But right around that 14th, 15th hour, he started to show me the way the register stamp was moving around the document. And that got my attention. That did get my attention. And then the way the register stamp was imported on its own layer, and these two date stamps were imported on their own layers. And I thought that to be very suspicious, because date stamps would have been important if you were fabricating a document to give an appearance it happened some time ago. The register stamp and the date stamp next to the register stamp were imported on their own layers. I found that compelling because, again, something that would make it look authentic, kind of sitting out there by itself. And then he showed me, during course, he was in possession of the Ani document. And when looking at the Ani document, you could see with the naked eye that those angles on those date stamps were very similar. The whole document, even though one would expect it's a birth certificate, they're all kind of going to look the same, this one just was eerily similar. It was, there's something, I couldn't tell you what it was, but I heard the story of how he got it, and I said, you know what, I need this document. I need to take this document from you. And since 2011, it's been in our possession.
Wow.
What we did after that is we made an overlay. We took the Ani certificate and we copied it on a transparency. And then we overlaid it on top of a copy of the Obama certificate. And boy, those date stamps were really close. And the date stamps, why they were so intriguing to me was because they are placed up by hand. And you have to use a bait stamper to put them on by hand. And it was just kind of uncanny that they were so similar in angles. And I mean very similar, but they were not exact at that point. Subsequently, I looked at a couple more internet documents. I could find some birth certificates at that time online. And the Nordyke twins were available. And I looked at those, and nothing looked like this. So we held on to that. And then as the course of the investigation happened, we go back to focusing on the Obama document. And the Ani was kind of put aside, but always in the back of my mind. The way Jerry Corsi came in contact with the document was through a mutual friend of his, Mickey Booth,
right,
who was very prominent in the birther movement. And she had an acquaintance, Johanna Ani. And they made arrangements for Johanna to show Jerry Corsi her birth certificate. But Jerry Corsi has the documents to prove that this was about 10 days after the release of the long-form birth certificate at whitehouse.gov.
Okay.
So this materializes after the release. So when I heard the story is a little suspicious to me, obviously. I still, at least now I have something that was released. It looked kind of similar, but the story just wasn't sitting that well with me. As time would go on, we ended up going out to Hawaii with the intent, again, of trying to clear this issue up and clear the document. And in that time frame, we went to the Department of Health in Hawaii. We went to Kapalani Medical Center. And I interviewed Johanna Ani twice while we were out there. And she does maintain the story. And I don't want to get into this part of it, and you could understand why, but there's some parts, sure, of the story that are troubling to me. But I can't say for certain that she isn't telling me the truth. So at this point in time, I have to take her at her word, but I can't clear her. But that doesn't mean she's guilty. I just can't corroborate some information here. And the only concern is, was that the only time you were out of possession of your birth certificate? And why this becomes important is, if she wasn't out of possession of her birth certificate like she claimed, this certificate was acquired from her, a copy of her 50-some-odd-year-old birth certificate. She was born only 16 days, I believe, after Obama at Kapalani Medical Center. She got a copy of this in 1995. It's all notarized and everything on the back. It's a real birth certificate.
That's when it was issued in 95, right?
95. That's when they released their certified copy, hard copy,
okay,
document. And that's an important fact here, too. This is not a PDF file. This is a hard copy document that we're in possession of. she has it in 95, and she claims it's always been in her file drawer, locked away, and it's because someone had requested to see her birth certificate, which was Mickey Booth, that she showed it to Jerry. When Jerry was there, he asked to keep it, wanted to run some high scans off it. She agreed, and in the interim is when we got involved and I met Jerry. So if we believe that story, if that's going to be the story, if that's the story that works, if that's the story that's true, the bigger problem here is, then where did her birth certificate come from? And if that has never been out of anyone else's possession but hers, then you have to start looking towards the Department of Health in Hawaii as to where her certificate was obtained. So this thing starts to grow hair as you start to, you know, work with it. And that would actually point then to an inside job, which isn't unusual. There are court cases. There are cases that just happened in New Jersey a couple years ago where the feds busted a Department of Health because the director was creating falsified birth files and then selling those files to illegal immigrants. The illegals would come in, ask for their birth certificate. The unsuspecting clerk would look at the file. Everything looked in order and issue a certificate. And they were all fraudulent. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that something happened inside there.
Okay.
So this is still an part of the puzzle that's unanswered, but it's also part of the puzzle that's better left for federal investigators to deal with, not us.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I'm amazed, too, since you're talking about this now, I'm amazed how you went so far into the whole aspect of the documents, how to create perhaps, or, you know, can fictitious documents be created? And the fact is you ordered the safety paper and found, in fact, you overpaid for it in one instance, but the availability of the components to create an identifying document like this just amazed me when you touched on it in your press conference yesterday. And folks, we do have links to that press conference in our article. Go to HagmanReport.com and definitely watch that press conference. But I was just amazed at that. But okay, so. All right. This is a little bit troubling already, and I can imagine how you felt at the time. I didn't mean to take you off your track there, but okay.
Well, let me address something really quick. I was going to do this. I just was running out of time, as Carl will tell you. We were literally burning the midnight oil. We got about 4 hours sleep the day of the press conference. We were just, you know how it is. It's sure. All coming in, and all of a sudden you get the problems. But I was actually going to set up a laptop, and I was going to bring the stamper and the date stamps, and I was going to start printing off birth certificates and have people come up and try to make those two stamps line up. You keep printing and keep pressing and keep pounding on those date stampers, and you let me know when you get two that match exact. But the scary part of it is, for probably less than $400, you could be in the birth certificate business. And I can make, we've been frauding birth certificates for what? Did 4 years now. Thankfully, we're doing it under the covering of a law enforcement agency. But, you know, you can do it. It's so easy. So easy.
Well, exactly. But what you're saying with respect to this stamp, for example, it would be, what you're saying to, and you're talking about a date, a stamp. In other words, somebody would have an ink pad and a stamp that, ink the stamp, or maybe a self-inking stamp, regardless. But when you stamp a document, you're not going to stamp it in the exact angle, exact space, exact spot. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to have two exact stamps and the exact, with the two different documents have the exact stamp location, I guess is what you're saying, right?
You know, if we believe these things were genuine, they would be 16 days apart. You wouldn't have that 16 days apart. And now if Obama's was actually created in 2011, which we know it was because it's the PDF file, and the Ani was released in 1995, they're like 16 years apart. And here's the thing. In order to do this, you would literally have had to stamp the Obama certificate or stamp the Ani certificate, any way you want to say it. But let's say he was born first. You would have stamped the Obama certificate, and then you would have had to measure those angles and transfer those angle measurements to the document you were going to stamp again, precisely lay it on the page, precisely line the stamper up according to those measurements and stamp it. And then you'd have to do that same procedure on the other side in order to make an exact match. And even then, they wouldn't be an exact match. So this could only have been done by digital process. And, you know, in our press conference, there was, if I had 3 hours, believe me, I would have blown you away. But we don't have that kind of time. But that's what it would have taken by hand to even accomplish that. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah. Okay. And that is really a practical impossibility. I'm comfortable in saying that. And I think any reasonable person would say the exact same thing. We're up against the book. Yeah, go ahead, Carl. We got about 30.
Are you up against the break?
Yeah, we're up. We got about 30.
Okay, well, I can do this in 30 seconds. So Mike was just speaking about the impossibility of two forensic elements that appear on that birth certificate, but there are seven more. There are nine elements like that. One of them is even more striking than that, the famous X's, which Mike will talk about sometime after the break.
It's just
astounding.
That really blew me away when I saw it. And ladies and gentlemen, definitely watch the press conference of Mike Zullo, Sheriff Gerald Pyle, the Maricopa County press conference. You will be, I mean, not just watch it, but share it everywhere. Just flood everywhere. I don't care if you're in Europe or if you're in the United States. This needs to be seen by everyone. Why? What does it matter, maybe? A Hillary Clinton impression here? It matters. Stay right where you are. We're going to be right back. Give us three. Joining us here on the Hagman and Hagman Report, two very special guests, Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo, both off the just recently, yesterday, as a matter of fact, the press conference that was held, Maricopa County Cold Case Posse, on the final analysis of the document that appeared on whitehouse.gov. And if you don't think this is important, just look around you, look at the headlines. But this is important for a lot of reasons. We have to look at the bigger picture and consider the disturbing implications of this. This is not about where Obama was born. This is not even about eligibility at this point. This is about a crime about the document itself, and consider the implications. Before I get back to Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo, I just want to mention I'm not sure if you've heard about this. Our new sponsor, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. With Christmas right around the corner, what a great place to get any last-minute shopping done. Go to MasterPreps.com for all of your outdoor camping, prepping, survival needs. They got them all covered. I mean, from tents to backpacks to hunting scopes. They carry high-quality companies. I mean, you name the brand, they've got it. If you need a few ideas for that hard person to shop for, just go to MasterPreps.com. They've got over 20,000 products, and more are being added daily. MasterPreps.com. They've got anything and everything you need for your survival needs. And folks, it's all on sale and competitively priced. So get yourself or your loved ones something great this holiday season and get it on sale at MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. And as Mike Zullo was talking, Carl Gallus was talking, our guest, I was thinking about an interview I had. In fact, Jerry Corsi and I spent some time in Orlando a couple of years ago, and he mentioned something in passing about being waterboarded by Mike Zullo. Now I understand. he didn't quite describe that 16-hour interview as an interview. I think it was more of an interrogation, but I jest. But but Mike Zullo.
Of course, he needs to stop crying about it. He has to stop crying about it. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I'm going to tell him you said that too. All right. So, 9 points of forgery on this document. 9 points, and you covered one, Carl. Thanks for pointing that out. The position of the stamp, which is really physically impossible. Carl, I'm going to kick it to you. Go ahead and superintend this with Mike.
Yeah, Mike needs to speak to this in more detail and more accurately than I, but for those that saw the conference or will see it by going to the links there on your page, for those that saw the 7-minute video of the 9 points of fraud or will see it by going to your page, it's absolutely astounding. It's rock solid evidence, again, verified by forensics laboratories on two continents, and as well as the investigative material. And when you see this, you one of the most astounding elements, and Mike's got a great insight into how this was discovered and the profoundness of it. One of the most astounding of those 9 elements was a lowly, simple little one-letter X that was moved from the Omni document, and this has been forensically verified, over onto the Obama document. And the thing that's so astounding is that they didn't just move the X, but because of the placement of the X in the box on the Omni document, they had to move the X and the box. And not only that, but because the X was just over the edge of the top of the box, a part of the X bled over into a word above it, so they had to move that as well. And so you have this exact match of this Omni misplaced bled over X moved right over to the Obama document with the very same evidentiary elements. Mike, tell them how that came about, how we found that.
Well, this is after years now. We have this document, and anybody that's been following this issue, you know there were operatives and paid operatives that were assigned to this very topic, trolls, that whatever information they can garner for us. After we did our second press conference, which, look, that did have probable cause, but the biggest problem with those findings were it was going to be very, very difficult to ever convince a jury. That's how we look at it from our standard. Convince a jury that this is the only way this could happen, because it could be explained away by some kind of computerized anomaly or algorithmic code, or you could have confused them so badly that you would never get a conviction. So we knew that, and our purpose on the first of two press conferences was really to get media attention, congressional attention, and then pass this off to the FBI. That's what we wanted to do. But it never happened. So the rumor starts to come out that the 7655 Xerox copier was the forger. The copier in the White House created all these anomalies.
I remember that. Yep.
Remember that? Well,
yep.
I could have told you in the beginning that wasn't true. I mean, we knew that. But now what does it do? It's out there to such magnitude that I would be remiss if I don't investigate it.
Sure.
So we acquired a 7655 Xerox copier. We took the tax returns from President Obama in 2011. We took the birth certificate that was released in 2011. And I had the forensics team over in Italy decipher the metadata that was actually in the tax returns. That does have metadata. And we compared the quantization tables in both documents, and they actually did determine that it was indeed a 7655 copier that created both of those images. So now we knew there was a 7655 involved. Acquiring the machine, the biggest problem we encountered was they could not find 2011 software.
Mike, if I can stop you right there just for a second, because about the 7655 copier, you said that, just to be clear about this, you said that the Obama tax returns were copied on a 7655 copier, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
They're copied and they were uploaded to the internet with none of the other shenanigans. They were just copied and released.
Okay. I don't even know if you know the answer to this question or if it's relevant, because I was listening this. I wrote this question down when I was watching your press conference. This 7655 copier, were these documents, the tax returns, copied in the White House or at the White House?
That is what we believe. It is the same machine. So we do believe it was done at the White House.
All right. That's kind of what I thought. Thank you. All right. So, okay. Go ahead. So you're looking looking for the software.
The software. And we actually reached out to a number of, we called Xerox right off the bat, and they said they didn't have that software anymore, that software actually did have a defect in it. They had patches that corrected the problem, but you can't get that software anymore. So we started contacting copy technicians. And we did contact a gentleman about a year or so ago, and he told us the same thing, that you can't get the software. A year goes by, and in a different conversation with this gentleman, he alerts us that he actually did have the software. So a whole year goes by before we can find the software, and we actually did find it the first time. He just never alerted us to the fact that he had it. So now we get the software, we get him to install the software on the machine, and now we're up and running. And through the forensics team in Italy, we ran, I think it was about 80 or 90 scan campaigns, and we tried every setting you could to try to replicate the Obama document, the way the PDF file breaks out, the images that are transported over in totality, and everything we tried. We could get really close within one layer of the Obama certificate, but we could never get it to pull over the same information that it did off the Obama certificate. And the other thing that we couldn't do is the haloing around the letters. The 7655 does have an ability to create haloing, but it's not the same haloing that's around the Obama certificate.
Okay.
So going through all of this, that was good, but that wasn't going to do it. So I began to look at the document, and I knew I had to look at the document from a different perspective. I needed to get away from this whole digital forensics thing, because there's just too many different ways to pollute the argument. And in doing that, I started to look at the ONE certificate again. And I was working with closely with the gentleman that creates our videos, Mark Galar. And in working with Mark, we would have hours on Skype doing screen shares, looking at the Obama cert, the ONE certificate. And Mark was always, I'm telling you, it's those stamps. I'm telling you, it's those stamps. And I said, Mark, unless they line up perfectly, it's not going to work in my business. It's got to be exact, because I can't go in there saying they're close. It doesn't work. So one evening, I'm talking with Mark, and I said, hey, Mark, would you do me a favor? Make me a video of the overlay of both the ONE on top of the Obama, so I can bring that to the sheriff. Let me explain to him what I'm looking at. Well, Mark does that, and in doing that overlay, he noticed that the ONE certificate was about 1 or 2 degrees canted. It wasn't perfectly square when they copied it. When he made an adjustment to make it perfectly square, those two date stamps lined up precisely. So now I stopped him, and I sent that information across the globe. I sent it to Hawaii. I sent it to Italy, and I waited. And Italy does all these mathematical equations, tests, all kinds of things, and they come back and tell me they match exactly. Reed Hayes calls me and tells me these are an exact match. Reed Hayes goes one step further. He says, Mike, that's impossible. He goes, I tell all my students that there's no way possible to ever precisely replicate anything done by human hand. If it's precisely replicated, something else happened. It's not done by human hand, because it just can't happen.
Can't happen. Right.
So I asked him, I go, Reed, are you telling me that this is the smoking gun? He goes, what I'm telling you is this is a forgery, because you can't have this. So once I had that kind of information from two separate entities, two separate individuals, two separate disciplines of forensics, now I get back on the phone with Mark. And I said, Mark, we got to start lining things up in the document. I said, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go down this document and line up every letter of every word, because this thing's going to pop out. And when he started doing it, he started lining up the 6-1 at the top of the form, and all of a sudden the word Oahu pops out in the middle of the document. But that's all we saw. And I'm like, well, the 6-1 doesn't line up precisely, but that's really strange. I go, Mark, go back and line up every letter of every word. And when he did that, those 6 points, 7 points that we described, there were 8 points, 9 points, it depends on how you count them, they just peeled off the page. So we were looking at that, and I call him, and I go, all right, Mark, show me how they're on, just like the boxes I think you're displaying now. I said, Mark, they come over individually. I go, can they come over as a group? And he didn't know. He didn't even know if he could do it with the software. And when he figured out that you could peel it off as a group, all of a sudden a little X in a box becomes the point of reference, and all those words come over as one group. They are relational to each other. They're juxtaposed. They are exact. That meant that you can pick those up as a group and move them anywhere you want. I could put them on that document, some other document, and they are going to be relationally the same. Same exact placement, measurement-wise. So that was something. I don't want to tell you the words that came out of my mouth when I saw that. But we stopped, and I sent that information over to Italy, and I sent it over to White, and they both came back concurring. Reed Hayes goes, this is absolutely impossible. But Reed Hayes said to me, he goes, well, Mike, I found something else. There was another X in the box that we didn't see.
Yeah, this is what I wanted you to hear, because he's just told you this whole process. Now, think of this. He sent it to Reed Hayes. He said, this is impossible. This is impossible. Then Reed Hayes says, but Mike, there's something else. Mike, go ahead.
He said, there's another X in another box. And it was above the ones that we were looking at. He goes, that's the same X that was on the ONE certificate, but it's been used twice on the Obama. And I'm like, well, Reed, how do you know that? He goes, well, not only did they pick up the X, they picked up the box, and they had to pick up the letters above the X, because the ink from the X is bleeding into the ink on the letters above it. He goes, if you look at these, they're exact matches. So there's three X's. One is on the ONE, but the same two are on the Obamas. He says to me, that's a fingerprint in your business. He goes, wow. This seals the deal. And I'm going to read to you what he says. He goes, my examination reveals exact alignment and positioning of the word Honolulu in field 6A of the COLB. The word Oahu in field 6B and 7D, and the X in the field 7G, when superimposed on the ONE certificate. It is uncanny that all of these entries are exactly the same on both documents, particularly the positioning of the X, as it would be impossible for a typist to place a letter in that very same position. The exact match suggests that they may have been lifted as a group from the ONE document and placed on the COLB, or the ONE certificate was a template for the COLB.
Wow.
The exact alignment of all these entries as a group is proof that the ONE certificate was one source utilized in the creation of the COLB. The COLB is what he refers to as the Obama certificate. And it goes further. Let me just read this to you. Even more convincing is the exact match of 6D of the COLB with the same field in the ONE document. They match identically with regard to their positioning in the printed box. In addition, the X is an exact match in its position in the printed box, and the printed text above the X also matches identically on each document. Further, when the X in field 7E of the COLB is placed over the X in field 6D, different box, of the honoree certificate, they also match identically with regard to their positioning in the box. Additionally, the X's are identical as to placement in the box, and the printed text above the box are also identical on each document. It is impossible that all of these entries are exact in content, alignment, and placement unless the entries on the COLB were borrowed from the honoree certificate, or the honoree certificate was a template for the COLB.
That's what I was talking about, Doug. I mean, that sealed the deal, and that's why Reed Hayes, in his closing paragraph of the executive summary, says that is the, quote, nail in the coffin, end quote, in this case.
All right. And I get that. Just to recap with this, you've got 9 points of forgery. You've got 5 points of forgery that were imported as a group, and then you've got, of course, the date stamps, box 20 and 22 and such. But okay, and then. And then, of course, what you're referring to with respect to the X's, they had to take the box, the X, and the word because of the bleed through. My goodness. And, of course, the Onni document was the source document. Just for people to kind of catch up here, this Onni document appears to be the source document for the CLB for Obama's, that document. Okay. Not likely. To be, I mean, obviously, this is an obvious forgery, and you've got really the two premier, one premier digital forensics lab in Italy, verifying this using the information you just heard, folks, as well as Reed Hayes, one of the foremost, if not the premier, question document examiners in the country here. Okay. All right. So, dare I ask, is there more?
Well, you know, there's more. Well, yeah, there is.
Okay. Yeah.
let me put it to you like this. Your listening audience is the only audience that has heard these two paragraphs. I haven't disclosed those before.
Okay.
And I'm going to disclose. I touched on it lightly. Give me a second to find it in the document. But one other thing that Reed Hayes did point out, he talks about the signature line that has Stanley Ann Dunham under the signature box in the Obama document.
It's a part.
Right over, there you go. Right under the right on top of the physician's name. And this is what Reed Hayes has determined. Signatures on the COLB at field 18A, 19A, and 21 on the COLB have a flat static quality. They lack the fluid appearance normally associated with original signatures that have been scanned. There is no evidence of ink characteristics, which I would expect to see in a scan of original signatures. Significantly, the Stanley parentheses, and D portion of the Stanley and Dunham Obama signature is highly pixelated, but the remainder of the signature is not. It is reasonable to assume that the signature is not a true replica of a complete original signature, but was assembled from different sources. So, I mean, you know, it starts to get really bad for this document.
So, in other words, there could be more than what they have officially discovered and disclosed. And
right.
That's what Reed Hayes was saying. It looks to him like there might even be more.
Okay. I mean, you'd be the go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I think where we're at this point is at some point we had to stop.
Yeah.
And to understand why we're stopping here is because obviously Sheriff Arpaio did not win re-election, and there's a new sheriff coming in who was funded by George Soros to the tune of $3 million in his campaign, and he has already publicly stated that the minute he gets in there, he's going to close this investigation down. So we have until January 1st to finish this and hand it over to Congress So he doesn't have the privilege of shutting it down.
Right.
And I
think that's important for people to understand, because there have been questions. In fact, I received an email today in anticipation of your appearance, and many of them were, well, why did, why, of course, did you hold a press conference yesterday? What's the rush? What's the timing? What took you so long? I mean, it varied. They varied in content, but I guess the big question is why the press conference yesterday? And I think you answered that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a great question, but Mike, explain that again, because I mean you've had to address that several times, and that's a good question. People are asking that.
Well, yeah, there's a couple things here. First of all, it was the situation with the sheriff. It's the threat of the investigation being shut down. But more importantly, I can only describe this as divine intervention. The majority of the findings in this document have happened over the last 7 weeks.
Wow!
I can't explain it.
It just came rolling in like a flood.
It was literally like the document. Once we lined up those stamps, the document unlocked, and then it collapsed on its own weight.
Yeah, I mean there was good stuff that was going to be brought to the conference, but like Mike said, 7 weeks prior or somewhere right around there, it just started rolling in like a flood. It was supernatural. It was uncanny. I mean, just as he just said, it was like somebody handed him a key and he just started unlocking boxes. It was unbelievable.
Man, and I think this is so important for our listeners to hear. God does intervene, and God is moving in wondrous ways. Look at the revelation, folks. Last 7 weeks, the majority of evidence tying this all together was, I don't want to say gifted, but developed. My goodness, how great is that? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Doug. We've got just a little bit of delay. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, along those lines, Doug, I mean, you're a believer, I'm a believer, Mike Zullo's a believer. Let him tell his story at some point in this program tonight from the supernatural side, from the spiritual warfare side. I mean, this is fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, what we'll do when we come back here on the other side of the break, we can, right now you've laid out sufficient, in my view anyway, sufficient evidence that would prove beyond any doubt whatsoever, and courtroom-ready evidence that this document that was uploaded on April 27th, 2011, or that appears on whitehouse.gov, is a fraudulent document. I think that there's a sufficient evidence there. And of course, folks, go back and watch the press conference for the anything that wasn't touched here tonight. And then, of course, we'll come back. And a couple of things, testimony of Mike Zullo, what he went through. But equally important is what we all can do as Christians, as warriors, as people on the front lines, what we all should do to support these fine gentlemen, Mike Zullo, the investigation, and not let the 5 years of investigation go to waste. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guests, Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo. And, of course, the press conference yesterday. Getting information today, exclusive to our listeners. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.